that's absolutely perfect, that is like a double-edged sword, and it cuts us and gets in places where we never would have imagined it would touch. Lord, help us to focus on your word today as we read it together, and help us to allow your spirit to speak to us individually. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Just three verses today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We're talking about important last words for the entire chapter, but today specifically encouragement to run well and to finish strong. It's on page 996 in the Pew Bible, 996. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Just before his team left the locker room to play in the Fiesta Bowl in 2003, to play for the national championship of college football, Jim Tressel gathered the Buckeyes together for one last talk. They prayed, and then they briefly went over the game plan. And then he asked them one last question. How do you want to be remembered? The Buckeyes were going to go out and play against the Miami Hurricanes, who hadn't lost a game in the last 24 games, and they were not expected to win. This question worked. The Buckeyes went out and pulled off one of the greatest upsets in the history of college football, beating the Hurricanes in double overtime, 31-24. Today they're remembered for that victory of winning in that game, winning the national championship. How do you want to be remembered? That's a good question for us too, isn't it? What will people say about us when we are gone? And you know what? I've discovered that they will say something. Even if you don't want them to say anything, they will say something. You know, I overheard somebody talking about me from my class, and I was surprised at the things they said. He said, well, you know, he was a pretty good football player. He was kind of religious in high school. He was, you know, one of those guys who was most likely to succeed. He was kind of kind. You know, I thought they would have remembered other things, but those are the things they said. How will people who knew you best summarize your life? You know, suppose just for a minute you were, you could put an epitaph on your tombstone. Just five words. Just take a couple seconds and think about what you would put on that stone to summarize your life. I'll give you 5 seconds. Good. Paul is writing from a prison in Rome, and he examines his life in Christ. Then he writes his own triumphant epitaph that we read, and that's verses 6 through 8. And he wrote these verses for a purpose, and the purpose was to encourage Timothy to fulfill the command he had given him in verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." I think as we read these three verses, we can get three perspectives to help us to run well and finish this strong, this race that we have in our faith with Christ. The first one is accepting the reality of the present, accepting God's reality of the present. In verse 6, it says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." You know, Paul stopped for a minute and he looked around. Present tense here, present tense stuff going on. Paul realized that his time was short. He was on death row. Now, I've spoken with some people on death row at Michigan City. It's a prison in, I think, Illinois. And those people realize that, you know, today could be the last day. So they're focused on the present. Paul knew that the end was near to his life. So in this verse, he speaks about being poured out like a drink offering. That's one of the things he says in verse 6. And that idea there of being poured out is one word in the Greek text, spendomai, be poured out. You know, one word is really powerful in Greek and can be expanded in all kinds of words in English so that we can understand what it means. It means being poured out as a drink offering. And this drink offering is talked about in Numbers chapter 5, or Numbers chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And there it tells us that all people should offer all kinds of offerings to God, starting with a burnt offering, then a grain offering, and finally a drink offering. The drink offering was to be the final offering. And this, it was a wine that was used in this drink offering. It was poured on the altar. And this wine would become a sweet aroma to God that was pleasing to him. And remember that wine was always a symbol of joy in the Bible. So when you're giving this offering, it's like, God, I have nothing left to give. This is the final thing that I have to give to you in my life. And I give it with great joy. I'm happy, God, to give this drink offering to you because of who you are and what you've done for me. All that we have, we give to the Lord. That's a drink offering. The second thing it talks about in verse 6 is there's a time coming for his departure. It says, "A time has come for my departure." Another Greek word there, analos. And this is used not only in the Bible, but it's used in other literature, Greek literature of that time. And Paul saw death as a releasing or a loosening from the world. You're being turned loose from the moorings that you're attached to in this place. And sometimes this word was used to describe a ship that was setting sail. It was pulling up anchor and it was going out. That's a departure. Or like a soldier breaking camp. Or like a worker laying down a heavy burden. This story is told about a young man named William Borden. You know, William Borden grew up in Chicago, and his family was really into the dairy business. You've heard of Borden dairy products? Well, his family owned that business. And when he graduated from high school, his parents sent him on a world cruise. Can you imagine? Sent him on a world cruise because as a gift for finishing high school. Well, he saw a lot of things, and while he was in Indonesia and China, God gave him a heart for reaching lost, poor people. So when he returned home, he decided to go to college to study the Bible and then the seminary so that he could prepare to go out and try to help these people. And while he was there, he got rid of all the wealth that he had. He said to his family, "Hey, I don't want this stuff. This stuff is holding me back from what God is calling me to do." And then after he graduated, he got on a ship and he went to go to China. When he got to Egypt, he died of cerebral meningitis within a few days of contacting or getting that disease. And he looked in his Bible, and they found a message in his Bible that described his life. Just three phrases. No regrets, no reserves, or no retreats, no reserves, no regrets. Gladly, William Borden gave his life as an offering for the Lord's work to reach these dear people in China and Indonesia. Because he lived in the reality of the present, that joy overwhelmed all the circumstances that he faced in this life, understanding what God had done for him on the cross. And he's going to have eternity in heaven, that his sins were forgiven, and he's going to have eternity in heaven with Jesus. Can you imagine? And he gladly gave his life and everything he had in order to tell others about Jesus, because he accepted the reality, God's reality of the present. And that's what the Apostle Paul was thinking of. Where I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, the time has come for my departure to be with Jesus. That's a lot better than being here. The second perspective that Paul talks about is found in verse 7. Remembering the challenges of the past that God has brought us through. What a fight each one of us has. Each one of us has had. Verse 7 says this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And all the verbs here are in the past tense. In the first verse, they were in the present tense. Now they're in the past tense. So he's looking back over how God had helped him, how he had gotten to know God, how God had saved him, and God had brought him to this place. He sums up his life and his ministry in those three phrases in verse 7. First of all, he says, "I have fought the good fight." In Greek there is agonized, the good agony. Agonized, the good agony. He never stopped fighting for Jesus until he died. He spent his labors in not just any contest, but the good contest. He hadn't wasted his life. He hadn't wasted his efforts. And now he says with joy, "I have fought the good fight." The second thing that he says in that verse, he says, "I have finished the race." And Russell, it's great to finish a race, isn't it? It's great to finish a race, especially if you're in first place, which I've never been, but it's great to be in first place. "I have finished the race." You know, he didn't do what he wanted to do. He did what God wanted him to do. He never stopped running. He followed the directions and the course that God had given him to follow. And now he had reached the finish line in that race. There's always a relief when you do that, isn't there? A great release when you finally are there. You say, "Yes, yes, we're here."